Good morning or good afternoon. First of all, I know I'm going to hold you up because I know you're probably hungry. But first of all, I'd like to thank all the panelists. I think they did a fantastic job. And a lot of the themes that I'm going to talk about, they all recovered, which is good. But let me just quickly go through this. This is what I wanted to cover. Define cultural competence, and I think Rob did a good job of that. Discuss some laws and policies and regulations relating to language access services, and also describe 4 steps for implementing language access services in a healthcare organization using a healthcare language services implementation guide. Okay. I was going to show a video, but you know, sometimes technology doesn't work as you anticipate it's going to work. So, this is a great video, and I'm going to give you the website because I think it's a great icebreaker whenever you're making presentations in reference to language access kind of issues. And the website is www.youtube.com/user/THIT/online, and then it's /PAA/U/U2/UBLUAOGXOBG. But just go to the Texas Association of Healthcare Interpreters and Translators, and that YouTube is on their site. But it's a great video that I would highly recommend that you use. Yeah, Texas Association of Healthcare Interpreters and Translators. It's a great YouTube video, and it's very convincing. Now, you know, in terms of language access services, and just trying to give you the context, I think most of us in this room understand that there's probably, based on the U.S. Census, about 55 million individuals that speak another language other than English, okay? And the trends are going to continue to grow. They're not going to decrease. So obviously, as healthcare organizations and providers, we have to make, I guess, reasonable accommodations to ensure language access to language minority populations or LEP individuals. And we know that because, well, we want to ensure that we break down communication barriers so that we can deliver effective healthcare to language minority populations. We know the difference between oral and translation, right? So I don't need to go into that. And we recognize the importance of developing brochures and signage at a literacy level that can get the messages across to the audiences that we want to reach. All right. So that's, I just told you that now. So Rob talked about cultural competency in terms of the definition. And I define cultural competency, I'm using these concepts and themes that Rob talked about, basically as health equity. You know, in terms of equal access to any kind of service, regardless of race, you know, your cultural background, your linguistic needs. I mean, that's the way I define cultural competency. But how do healthcare providers recognize that it's an equal opportunity, you know, equal access kind of issue? And that's the importance in terms of conveying, you know, that message, that it's a health equity issue. And interesting, the theme of this conference is what? Social justice. So to me, it's also a social justice kind of issue. Now, at OMH, our mission is to what? To develop policies and procedures that can help eliminate health disparities that disproportionately affect minority populations. So we use cultural competency as a strategy to eliminate health disparities. It's not the panacea that's going to eliminate health disparities, but it's just one strategy. And I think about it as a war. When you go to war, right, you use different tactics and strategies to try to win that war. So I see health disparities as a war, And we have to use different tactics and strategies to hopefully win that war. Now, one of the components or one of the strategies that we have used is leveraging the national class standards. You know, the national standards for culturally and linguistically appropriate services in healthcare. So that's been the foundation for us to move this agenda forward in terms of, you know, dealing with cultural competency service delivery issues, or which is inclusive of language access issues. Okay, so in reference to my colleagues here, first of all, you know, they're talking about all these assessment tools, instruments, et cetera. But when you get to the bottom line, a lot of providers, organizations want to know, how do we do it, right? You know, what tools show us how to do it? But, I mean, from an administration kind of standpoint, maybe their findings reveal that it does start from the top. If the leaders at the top want it to happen, it's going to happen. But if they don't, if there's not buy-in, it's not going to happen. So it's really crucial that the role of the administrator, the CEO, or the individual that's maybe heading the quality assurance kind of division or department, really gets has the buy-in or has the commitment to make it happen in reference to language access services, in reference to providing training, you know, for staff in terms of addressing LEP issues within the organization. And Rob and Janice also talked about the importance in terms of increasing cost effectiveness, efficiencies. So, I mean, from an administrator standpoint, they always look at what? The bottom line, right? They look at reducing costs, but also sometimes they want to increase the efficiencies of their services, of any kind of service, especially language services, for their organizations. They also look at reducing liability, right? In terms of if their practitioners, for example, addressing language issues, miscommunicate or misdiagnose, right? What happens? You know, if they misdiagnose and they give the wrong kind of medication or prescribe the wrong treatment, you know, and it causes damage or a severe consequence to that patient, you know, there's liability issues that address because of those particular issues. And then you look at the legislative process in terms of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. You looked at the Joint Commission accreditation, the new standards that are coming out. So all these kind of regulatory requirements that health administrators have to look at to make sure that they have a high performance organizations, but also are addressing their particular language access issues or cultural competency issues. I think we all know that it's important that as we provide these kind of services, language access services, what's the bottom line? We want to improve patient safety. We want to improve what? Health outcomes. We want to improve patient adherence to particular treatment protocols. We want to increase their satisfaction in terms of the services that are being provided by healthcare providers or organizations. We want basically to increase a positive kind of experience for those patients that are seeking, you know, language access services. And at OMH, and I'm going to give you the website just in case you don't have it. It's www, this is for these programs, thinkculturalhealth.org. I'm sorry, thinkculturalhealth, we just changed it, .hhs.gov, all right? But we have a number of e-learning programs that can help providers, organizations, implement cultural competency interventions. We have their continuing education programs for physicians, nurses, emergency responders, and also we're developing one for oral health providers. But the program that I'm discussing this morning is a healthcare language services implementation guide, And this was a guide that was developed over a year and a half period. We used qualitative methods. We conducted focus groups across the country with healthcare administrators, providers, consumers. And, you know, basically to get a ground zero kind of tool that healthcare organizations and providers could use in increasing their access or providing language services to LEP individuals. So I'm going to just go through some of the key components. How much time do I have? All right. For example, patient language needs assessment. Obviously, any organization has to conduct an internal audit, okay, in terms of the patients that they're serving, in terms of the language needs of their patients, basically collecting demographic data, all right, having the technology that can capture when patients come in, the first contact with that receptionist, recognizing, well, acknowledging a particular language that they speak, but also what are the services that are provided based on those language needs? Is it for immunization? Is it for prostate cancer screening, et cetera? What are some, in terms of outreach to the community? What's being done by these organizations to reach out to the community, conducting marketing strategies so they're informed of their particular services that are being offered by these organizations? How do you use external data in terms of census data, in terms of, either it could be state, local, or county, but also how about research data that's out there in terms of literature on this particular topic? And then I think Rob and Janice talked about the importance of, you know, organizational capabilities. Okay? I mean, what are your internal capabilities so that staff can meet the language needs of LEP individuals in terms of bilingual staff, in terms of either do you have contracts with qualified medical interpreters that can come in and provide that service to your LEP individuals? Do you have maybe remote kind of setups that can provide those language services to individuals? And the important thing is having some key folks that can be can provide that leadership for the organizations to provide those LEP services to their patients. What else? Okay, I think in terms of the type of interpretation services, already talked about that. You got to have, I think, personally, qualified medical interpreters to make sure that you do provide quality interpretation services to those LEP individuals. Written materials at a literacy level that can convey those messages either for prevention or from a service standpoint. Signage, again, simple signage. Wayfinding so folks can navigate through that healthcare organization. The importance of notifying LEP individuals of their rights to receive LEP services. The importance of involving the communities in terms of advisory committees, in terms of the boards. You know, they have to be part of that process in terms of providing that consumer input, almost like a feedback loop to those organizations. And then when you wrap, you know, in terms of the wrap all those components, you know, together, it's having some kind of comprehensive written plan that lays out, you know, the various action steps to provide LEP services to your service community. And then finally, I think this is so important, and I think Janice made that point in terms of developing particular metrics for your services. We have to show results, we have to show outcomes. And given now the major kind of budget deficits that we're experiencing across the country, it's even becoming more crucial that we, you know, provide the evidence that, you know, that these kind of programs in terms of this, for example, this language implementation guide, how effective it is in serving as a toolkit for healthcare providers in increasing access to their LEP individuals. And I had a case study I was going to show, but obviously I can't do it because of time and of technology. So I think, in summary, I think language access services are key components in providing effective healthcare to LEP individuals. And I believe that this healthcare language implementation guide is one tool that healthcare providers and organizations can use to increase access to their LEP populations. So thank you.